Genesis chapter 39, we'll read verses 11 down to verse 19. We are going through the life of Joseph, and there's wonderful lessons that we've learned, practical lessons. And the last number of weeks we've looked at Joseph's temptations that he faced, and then last week we looked at his triumph over that temptation. Well now, this week, God willing, and next week, we want to look at Joseph being falsely accused, his accusations, and we see how the tempter now becomes the accuser, and we pray that there'll be many more lessons that we can learn. So we'll read verse 11, Genesis chapter 39, verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And she left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her, until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. And after the accusations, then obviously you have the prison experience. And so all these lessons to learn from. But we'll seek God now with the word open and pray that God will give us help. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank Thee the entrance into Thy word giveth light. And Father, we rejoice for the lessons that we have learned so far in the life of Joseph. We thank Thee, God, for this saint of Thine. We thank Thee, God, that many lessons already in his life we have identified with. And Father, we pray, O God, in every age, from young age to teenage years to adulthood, we pray, O God, that we will know the presence and power of God in our life. We pray, O God, that we will know the nearness of the Lord. For Father, we confess daily, we go through times of temptation, different battles. Lord, all the things that Joseph faced, Father, we ask of Thee, O God, that in such times Thou wilt draw near and Thou wilt give grace to follow Thee. We pray as well, Lord, for men and women still without Christ, without a Saviour, still lost in their sin. O God, some without Thee dare to die. We pray, O God, this will be the day when some dear soul will call unto the Lord for mercy. Answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When Joseph was brought as a slave to serve in the house of Potiphar, the Lord blessed and prospered Joseph. He was a godly young man, and Joseph set the Lord before him always. And already through this study, we have traced Joseph as a young 17-year-old going through life. And we've made those applications that no matter what stage we are in life as we follow Joseph, there will be lessons to learn. And even here among the young people and among the congregation, I encourage you, set the Lord before you. Joseph sought to honour the Lord from away from his father at Hebron and now living in Egypt. Joseph did not allow the custom or the circumstances or the country, the company, the customs, the culture, the corruptions and the curiosities of Egypt to ruin his life. Rather, Joseph lived his life for the Saviour. He kept himself pure. Of course, the Bible tells us for those in Joseph's position, who seek to honour the Lord, who seek to live before God, who put the King first. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why is that? Because the Lord has called a people out from the world, and the world do not know them. And because they identify with Christ, they belong to the Lord, the world hate them because they hate Christ. A life that is transformed by grace will always be a life that will be tested and will be challenged. There are foes to face along the way to heaven, such as the flesh, the world, and the devil, all wanting us to fail, to stop praying, stop reading the Bible, stop attending the house of God, to make us become unusable, unhappy, and unrecognizable. That is why we must stick to the means of grace to enable us to grow in grace. Continually use them. Continually read God's word. Are you reading God's word? Continually pray. Have you sought the Lord in prayer? Continue to come to God's house and hear the word of God. Hear what the Lord would say unto you, because it is no secret what God can do with a life that is given over to him. He's able to make any life a channel of blessing. And therefore, God is not so much looking, as one man said, for your ability. God is looking for your availability. And when you are available for him to work through, he will give you the ability and he will enable you to do what he has called you to do. In the place of work, in the area that Joseph lived, that became an arena of temptation. It was in Egypt. And as we've said, this world, or Egypt in the Bible, is a type of the world with all its temptations, its ungodliness, its heathen practices. Egypt is no friend unto God. And so we live in this world, our spiritual Egypt. There are trials, temptations. This world, as the songwriter wrote, is no friend to help us on to God. In the place of work, in the place of school, even in our own very homes, there are trials, there are temptations, there are snares. Maybe something that come on the TV, something we listen on the radio, something we read in the newspaper, something we hear down the street or at work, whatever it may be. There are dangers in every corner. And as it was in Joseph's case, in the place of work, the area that he lived, his master's wife cast her eyes upon him, lusting after him and speaking to him continually, "Lie with me, lie with me." And Joseph suffered a time of temptation. However, by the presence and power of God, Joseph refused and fled this temptation. Joseph had a high and holy view of the Lord. He honored the Lord and would not do, as he said, this great wickedness and sin against God. The tempter now becomes the accuser. Potiphar's wife, who was tempting Joseph, "Lie with me, lie with me," now begins to falsely accuse him that he came on to her, that he initiated some plan to come on and attack her, that it was him who put her in a situation of trouble and danger. And so once again, in the life of Joseph, we are directed to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in his sinless humanity, he was tempted of the wicked one, and then he was accused by the wicked one. However, Christ overcame temptation, and he answered every accusation by his sinless life, his substitutionary death, and his sufficient word. And as our sympathizing high priest, he understands every temptation. He understands every false accusation. And for that reason, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor, it means to ride to the aid. the idea is of one on a horse. And in battle, the one on the horse would ride swiftly to help the one who was down. And so in our time of trial, our time of temptation, when the accusations come, we have one who runs swiftly, one who comes to meet us at the point of our need. So when all is against us, the Lord is always for us. And Joseph is falsely accused, but with the Lord's help, he is able to overcome. And now as we come to this part of the message, Joseph is falsely accused. We want to look at these words and seek to make application. And God willing, we'll look at 2 points today. And then next Lord's Day, we'll look at the other couple of points. Notice, first of all, the charge of Joseph being falsely accused. Verses 13 to 19. Really, we have summarized the whole false accusation that is brought against Joseph by Potiphar's wife. The wording of the false accusation against Joseph really is at the end of verse 14 into verse 15. But again, it is repeated throughout the whole verses 11 through 19. But just verses 14 and 15, I'll read. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Now, obviously, we know that was a false accusation. That was a lie. But this woman is now telling these people. It's clear to see that this woman is obsessed with Joseph. At the start, Potiphar's wife was happy to tempt Joseph. But since Joseph refused and rejected her temptation, now she's embarrassed. She has made a fool of herself. And knowing that Joseph fled to keep his purity, she then grabbed his coat. And because she has his garment in her hands, she uses this to create a web of lies, to create false accusation. And she makes her lies sound like the truth. It's interesting to note that when this woman was tempting Joseph, and she made her move on Joseph, she made sure that none of the men were in the house. Everything was planned to a T. Everything was ordered and organized by this woman. She knew she wanted Joseph, and she knew what she was planning to do. And because to make sure there were no witnesses, she did it, made her move, when no one was in the house. But since her plan has failed, Joseph has refused and rejected her temptation. Now she must create lies to get herself out of it. Now she must make these false accusations. And because she has the garment in her hand, notice what she does. Verse 14, she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them. It's only then that she calls the men of the house in. Oh, she was happy before to make sure they weren't there. She was happy before to make sure she could do all her plans when nobody was there. But now it's backfired. Now she's been embarrassed, rejected, refused. She now calls for everybody to come. And she calls for the men to come at once. And then later on in verses 17 and 19, she waits for her husband to come home. And she says these words at the end, after this manner did thy servant to me. So she tells her husband all that happened. And she says, after this manner, the exact same thing I'm saying to you, here is what he did. Step by step, my husband, this is what he did. Verse 15, he came on to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. I was just going about my day, and this Hebrew servant that you brought in, he came on to me. And you can imagine her side of the story, given these false accusations. There's nothing worse than being falsely accused. Nothing worse than being lied against. Never mind when it is being accused of a wicked crime. It can leave one feeling empty. One feeling broken, drained, alone, shocked, depressed, despair. Your whole world is crashing in on you to be falsely accused of something you have not done. And Joseph was in that situation. In the book of Nehemiah, the enemies of the gospel, they despised that Nehemiah was called of God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And as Nehemiah was called of God to rebuild the walls, the enemy kept making attack upon Nehemiah, kept launching an attack upon Nehemiah in order that the work of God would cease. If they can get rid of God's man, then the work will fall apart. And one of those leading opposers was a man named Sanballat. And in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, after making all different attempts, he then ups the notch and he begins to falsely accuse Nehemiah. And he sends his servant to Nehemiah. And in chapter 6, notice, it is with an open letter in his hand. Now, normally the letters would be sealed shut, but this time he has the letter open, hoping that it would be read, hoping that others would get wind of what was in the letter in order to spread the news, to spread what was in the letter. It was open to see. And when Nehemiah got this letter, he read it. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 6. Here is the accusation. Wherein it was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And Sanballat's accusation of Nehemiah and the people of God, that you're only rebuilding the wall because you're leading a rebellion. This is not of God, Nehemiah. This is just you leading a rebellion. You're just leading your own campaign. And you're actually rebelling against the king of Persia. Oh, you're taking the materials and you're doing all these things to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah, you're planning a takeover. It's reported. I've heard it say. And of course, Nehemiah is falsely accused. Notice it said in verse 6, it was reported. There was no evidence. There was no solid information. It was just different people coming together to falsely accuse Nehemiah to stop the rebuilding of the walls, to stop the walls that were broken down from being built back up, to stop the work of God from ceasing, to stop the people getting back to the temple where they could worship God, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild, offer up again the sacrifices upon the ground of the blood. And so the devil wanted Nehemiah sidelined. He wanted God's work to cease. And this is what was happening not only to Nehemiah, but it was also happening to Joseph. The devil wanted him sidelined, falsely accused. Scripture gives many examples of believers who were falsely accused. You think of Moses, Naboth, Elijah, Daniel, Paul, even the disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Remember, say ye to the soldiers, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Remember, the message was told, Christ will rise from the dead. And so the disciples were being falsely accused that if Christ risen from the dead, it was because the disciples had stolen his body away. And so money was given for that. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 to 60. The chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. And so notice that it didn't matter who they got. It didn't matter what they said. Just get me someone who will say something against this man. And that's what was happening to Joseph in principle, only a different method. Through the lusts of the eye, through false accusation. May I say, believer, that is no different as well. We too suffer false accusation. Maybe you have suffered false accusation as a Christian. Maybe you've been wronged at work, wronged at school. Maybe you have been set up. Maybe you can look back on a time when someone has falsely accused you of something that you had not done. But also, we think of it spiritually. Because at the throne of God, we are accused every day. Now, we would have to say the accusation that we are accused of every day by the wicked one is true, because we don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve God's salvation. But in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, you have this great picture of Joshua the high priest. And we learn that Satan at his right hand is there to resist him. And the word resist in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, means to oppose, means to withstand. It means to be an adversary. And so here we have Satan opposing Joshua. We have Satan withstanding Joshua. In fact, that word resist, it actually comes from the same word referring back to Satan. And so you could even read those words in the Hebrew, Satan standing at his right hand to Satan him. That is the exact meaning. Satan standing at his right hand to Satan him, resist him, oppose him, withstand him, accusing him. We learn in Revelation 12, verse 10, referring to God's people, Satan, which accused them before our God day and night. And so, believer, daily at the throne of God, you are accused. Why you should not be in heaven. Why you should be kicked out. Why you should be expelled. And in a sense, it's true, because none of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve the mercy of God. But here's the great blessing. Because we have been redeemed by precious blood, the Lord has said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will not expel. We learn in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And the word charge in the original rendering means, who shall bring an accusation of God's elect? The word means to call into question, to call something against. In other words, who can actually make an accusation against God's people that will stand? Who can actually make an accusation against God's people that will actually cause God to take a second look and to say, do you know what? I think you're onto something. Do you know what? I must have missed that. Thanks for pointing it out. No. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall make an accusation that will actually stand? None. Why is that? Because it is God that justifieth. God has blotted out sin. God has removed sin. Every accusation is answered by the precious blood. And so when the accuser roars of ills that I have done, and I know them, and thousands more, but hallelujah, Jehovah findeth none. Why is that? Because every accusation has been answered and paid for and blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. And that's the great blessing. And so God will always vindicate his people. And so, believer, when you are accused day by day by the wicked one, note, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our lawyer. He is our intercessor. He is our pleader. He is one who answers by his own precious blood. Can I ask you this day, are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? Can you tell me right now, are you a child of God? Have you come that point in your life where you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm not asking you, are you trying to follow the Bible or trying to live a principle life, a moral life? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you, have you ever got to the point where you've cried out, Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you cried out and said, Lord, O wretched man, O wretched woman that I am, Lord, save me, forgive me of my sin, wash me in the precious blood? Because you can have a lot of things. But as the Lord said to the man, one thing thou lackest. And you could be at church every Sunday, and I hope you do come. And you can read your Bible every day, and I hope you do. And you can do this and do that. But one thing thou lackest, and that is the grace of God in your life. And so I asked you, are you a child of God? Are you saved? And if not, you must call upon the Lord for salvation. You must step out on the promise and get under the precious blood. So here is the charge in Joseph being falsely accused. Notice secondly, the contempt in Joseph being falsely accused. Having to act quickly, Potiphar's wife has made up this story just on the go, really, makes it up as she goes along. She lashes out and she begins to slander Joseph, the very person who the very person that she desired is now the person who she degrades. The very one who she lusted after is now the one who she lies against. The one who she followed is now the one who she falsely accuses. And see how quickly the tables just turn. How quickly lust turns into hate. When Potiphar's wife had failed to seduce Joseph, she then turned to slandering him. Notice the words, verse 14. He hath brought, that is referring to her husband, he has brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And the word mock really is the word to slander. And she's saying, Potiphar has brought this Hebrew into us to mock us, to attack us, to slander us, to make a fool of us. And she labels Joseph an Hebrew. That is a name of reproach. That is to set him up in opposition against the other servants. She's not just attacking Joseph nationally, but also spiritually. The phrase Hebrew, or an Hebrew, singled out Joseph as one who worshipped Jehovah, the everlasting God. The one who worshipped the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth. It showed that Joseph did not worship the Egyptian gods. It distinguished Joseph that he did not worship all the false deities and all the pagan deities. In fact, the name and identification goes back to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the father of the spiritual family in Christ. Genesis 14, verse 13, Abraham the Hebrew. And we learn in Galatians chapter 3 that Abraham believed the gospel. The gospel was preached to Abraham. And we always make this point, never let anybody tell you that the gospel is not in the Old Testament. Never let anybody tell you that Christ is not in the Old Testament. Never let anybody teach you that Christ is only in the New Testament and the gospel is only in the New Testament and therefore we only stick to the New Testament. No, because the Bible tells us in Galatians 3 that the gospel was preached to Abraham. And in fact, after Adam and Eve had sinned, we learn in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first promise of the Savior, the promised Redeemer. And so Christ is in all the scriptures. The scripture, the Old and New Testament, they testify of Jesus Christ because the Bible is all about Christ. And keep that before you. And so the gospel was preached to Abraham. He believed in justification. He believed that he was declared righteous at the time he came to faith in Christ. Remember later on, God, in speaking to Moses, told him to tell the children of Israel as they stood before Pharaoh. This is a different Pharaoh than the one in the life of Joseph. Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. The Lord God of the Hebrews. That was the name they were to use. Exodus 3, 18. Use the Lord God of the Hebrews. Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. Jonah said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And so, yes, they are Hebrews, Jews, maybe nationally, but also spiritually. They were set apart, identified as those who worship God, those who don't serve the Egyptian gods or the Egyptian way of life. And so here is the contempt. Here is the hatred, the disdain, the scorn against Joseph. She could not get her wicked way. She could not fulfill her lust. She could not indulge in her pleasures. Joseph has exposed her actions as sin against God, as great wickedness. And Joseph is a Hebrew, not only nationally, but spiritually. In fact, Potiphar, his wife and Potiphar, they knew that Joseph belonged to Jehovah. And they could understand years ago, or they would understand what Moses would say years later. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There is a difference. The Lord has put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Exodus 11, verse 7. What is that difference? It is the token of the shedding of precious blood. Because when the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt, they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that is the difference between the saved and the unsaved. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, because of that, Joseph is being slandered. He belongs to the Lord. He is this Hebrew brought in. This one's different from us. Again, the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Suffering for my sake, accuse you on behalf of me, accuse you because you identify with me. Blessed are ye. And just three simple thoughts in closing. Contempt against believers is experienced by shaming. The Lord Jesus Christ said, men shall revile you. That word revile means to insult, to speak evil of. It shows shaming. This persecution is verbal. It means to disgrace, to dishonor, to abuse, to shame. And that's what the Lord was saying to his people. Men shall revile you, insult you, reproach you, speak evil of you. And this is what Potiphar's wife is doing to Joseph. She is insulting him, speaking evil of him. And this is what happened to the Savior. You read John 8, verse 48. John 10, verses 20 and 21. And he was accused of being demon-possessed. They slandered Christ. They spoke evil of Christ. Again, Matthew 26, verse 65. At the crucifixion trials, Christ was accused of blasphemy and condemned of death because of it. Matthew chapter 27, verse 39. They that passed by reviled him. They that passed by spoke evil of him. They that passed by looked and spoke about him in shame. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 to 23. How did he respond? Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And Peter went on to say, Christ has given us an example to follow his steps. You see, believer, it is natural that when we are insulted, reviled, shamed, accused, we seek to insult back, shout back, shame greater, get ahead further. But those who are spiritually minded, those who are spirit-filled, those who look at the life of Christ, they give the situation over to Him, because the Lord said, blessed are they. The Lord will always vindicate His people. The Lord will always see that His people come out the right way, because God is working His purposes through their life, as we will find in Joseph. He goes through this time of slandering, because that time of slandering will then lead to his exaltation. Also, contempt against believers is experienced by severity. Men shall persecute you. The word persecute means to harass, to hunt down, to pursue, never to give up. The example is taken of an animal chasing an animal, or someone chasing an animal. They chase it, they pursue it, never to give up on it until they have got it. And so this is what's happening. Potiphar's wife, she is persecuting Joseph. She harasses him. She hunts him. She pursues him. She will not let him go. Even now that her plan has failed, she's still on at him, making this false accusation. Again, Christ, a greater than Joseph, through his whole life, from his birth to his death, yea, even now in heaven, he is still persecuted. People still pursue to speak against him. Remember, at his childhood, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There, Herod pursued Christ to destroy him. During his earthly ministry, Matthew chapter 12, verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And then on the cross, for the crucifixion, Matthew 27, verse 20. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should seek Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And maybe that's how you feel at work, school, the community you live. Like Joseph, the pressure is on. Learn, you are not alone. Joseph refused this lust. He stated it would be sin against God. And by calling him an Hebrew, marking him, distinguishing him from others, it just showed his life lived out the gospel. His life did what Christ later said, let your life show shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As the Lord said, that our lives, believer, should be like that city that is set on a hill. It cannot be hid. And so, believer, when you are accused, when you're slandered, when people want to belittle you because you're Christian, really what it is, the very fact you're identified with Christ, the light has exposed the darkness. The light has showed them their wrongness, their evilness, has showed that they are not right with God. Again, the Lord said in John 15, verse 18 and 19, if ye were off the world, if you did what the world does, if Joseph just went with the flow, young people, if you just drink with the world, smoke with the world, get all the other stuff minimum and the same, if ye were off the world would love its own. I guarantee that would happen. If you identified, the world would love you. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world hateth you. And that is the whole point. Joseph is set apart. His whole life speaks of Christ. And because he's there, that life exposes a life without Christ. And dear child of God, that's why you will suffer, experience trials and setbacks, false accusations, persecutions, because your life shines bright and God's glory, His gospel, a life transformed, your life shows the gospel works. You ever heard that advertisement? I don't know if you ever seen an advertisement years ago. I think it was for fence painting. I can't remember the company's name, but it always had on the back of the tent. It always said, the advertisement always said, after it painted the wall, it does what it says on the tin. And your life shows the gospel does what it says. It transforms, it changes, it makes a difference in your life. And so that's what one of the questions, I'll not go into the question some of the young people asked yesterday, but that was the point we made to one of the questions asked by the young people. And the answer was, when a person is saved, the gospel makes a difference. The gospel transforms. The gospel delivers. It shows here's a life that has been changed by the grace of God. Has your life been changed by the grace of God? Has your life been impacted by the grace of God? Has your life had the power of God in it? That the things that you used to love that God was against, you are now against. And the things that now that God, you have a love for the things of God. Notice finally and briefly, contempt against believers is experienced by slander. And the Lord continued and say, they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And isn't that amazing? What the Lord told his disciples. Not only has Joseph experienced this by Potiphar's wife, but the Lord experienced it himself. Potiphar's wife is slandering Joseph. The word slander means to mar. It means to scar someone's testimony. It means here's someone held in such high esteem and you slander someone to degrade them, to get others to think evil about them. Remember, Joseph has lived his life to honor God. He's lived his life to please God. He said to this woman, I cannot do this because to do this is great wickedness and sin against God. And so from that, she wants to mar. She wants to scar Joseph's testimony. And I say the same in this room. You may not say the same dirty jokes as the world does. You may not use the same bad language as the world does. You may not drink the same stuff as the world drinks, smoke the same stuff as the world drinks, do all the other things that the world does. But because of that, you will be slandered. Because of that, they will seek to mar your testimony. Oh, look at that weird one over there. Look at that one there. Again, you go to Christ. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. What did they say about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Son of Man is come, eating and drinking. And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man. And a wine bibber, a friend of sinners and publicans. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, that Christ endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The word contradiction, this verse, it means to speak against. And therefore, when Christ was living that sinless life, he was spoken against. Everything he did in his life was for his people to purchase their redemption. And he was spoken against, falsely accused, whatever you want to say. And then he offered up that life. But even now, Christ is still spoken against. How many people do you hear blaspheme the Lord, still curse the Lord? And that will be until the Lord comes back again. And that day, he will make his enemies his footstool. And so, believer, learn, the enemy slanders you. But like Joseph, every sovereign permission comes with a sovereign purpose. Every situation comes with a sight of Christ. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The hard time you're passing through, it will end. But until it does, trust in him at all times. God is a refuge for us. There's a purpose in that accusation. There's a purpose in it. It's to strengthen you. It's to draw you to himself. It's for you to see a sight of Christ that you never would have seen before. A nearness of the Lord. And so Joseph is going through this. And through it all, the Lord never left him. The Lord never forsook him. Through being sold, through temptation, through the false accusation, and even when he goes into prison, the Lord is still with Joseph, and many more wonderful lessons to learn. And so, believer, Joseph is falsely accused. And let's say we'll learn more lessons next week. But God is on Joseph's side, and he is always for his people. We'll leave it there, and we pray that God will bless his word upon our heart next week. Say, God willing, we'll come back and we'll look at some more thoughts about Joseph's false accusations. But can I say to you, unsaved one, don't leave this room today without Christ as Saviour. Don't leave this meeting today without the assurance that your sins are forgiven. If you want, I can speak to you. I cannot save you, but I can certainly show you from the Bible how to be saved. Maybe there's one here struggling. You are accused. You are going through a hard time as a Christian. Then seek the Lord in prayer. Spend the time now before you go out and say, Lord, I'm so glad that you're for me when everything else seems to be against me. Lord, you are the conquering one, and through you I shall conquer.